your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Internet, happy Monday. You're listening to Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Sarah Avampato, also host of Locked On Kings, also co-host of the Wednesday edition of this very show, Locked On NHL. And I am here bringing you a slightly jumbo-sized show for some slightly jumbo-sized news. Today I have, first up on the show, Cal Demetrius, part of Locked On Sharks, who is going to walk us through his feelings, as complicated as they are, about the fact that Joe Thornton has decided to sign a one-year deal with the Toronto Maple Leafs. So we get into some favorite Joe Thornton memories. We get into the weirdness of having to maybe want nice things for Toronto for a change. And a little Taylor Swift at the very end. So make sure you listen the whole way through for that. I also talk with Chris Maselli, host of Locked On Avalanche, about the fact that the Avalanche are already the odds-on favorite to win the Stanley Cup in the 2020-2021 season. So we look at the outlook for the Avs next year and examine their off-season moves. All that is up on today's show, so let's not waste any time. Let's get right to it and hand things over to Cal Demetrius of Locked On Sharks for some Joe Thornton feelings. One of the biggest news pieces in the hockey world was Joe Thornton finally making his decision. And no, he's not staying in Europe. No, he's not coming back to San Jose. He has decided to win a cup with the Toronto Maple Leafs, question mark. And so I have Cal Demetrius, one third ish of Locked On Sharks, here to express his feelings about this move. So how are you feeling in a nutshell?
Oh, goodbye, my lover. Goodbye, my friend.
I don't know if people know that song, but that's what I've been doing for what it was four. I think it was 4:56 Eastern on Friday. We're recording this like Sunday night. So yeah, that's been two straight days of that just on repeat. You know, the Office scene when Michael's really sad because his girlfriend breaks up with him and he just buys the like minute like preview of the thing. Yeah, that's just been like, yeah. I've just been repeating it over and over again. I have a Spotify account, but I just want that 4 seconds over and over again. So
sitting in a dark room, curtains drawn, little Joe Thornton.
Yeah, my condo doesn't have a living room overhead light. So I have to go to the lamp to turn it on. So a lot of times I just like sit in my own pity, like wallow. Wallow is a good word. That's what we've been doing, is just wallowing. And I don't know, winning a cup. Here, I teased this off air with you. I have a stat and a half. Joe Thornton today said in his interview that he feels like Toronto's close to winning a cup, which LOL. But the Toronto Maple Leafs haven't won a playoff series since before he joined San Jose,
which was approximately like 35 years ago.
Yeah, I believe Ontario was called Upper Canada at the time. The Leafs won a playoff series in 2004, and then there was a lockout, and then Joe Thornton got traded to San Jose on November 30th, 2005. So I don't know what cups he's talking about. They haven't even got out of the first round. Notably last seen losing to Columbus of all teams. So I'm bitter to say the least. So it's just incredibly sad, because the thing about Joe Thornton, and I had a very like emo tweet thread about this, is that for a lot of people, he's like the last connection to when cheering for the Sharks when you were a kid. Mm-hmm. Because I was, so in 2005, I was 16, and Owen Nolan had got traded in 2003, and the Sharks were cool and stuff in the late 90s, early 2000s. But when Joe Thornton got traded there, he's such a recognizable star and he won the Hart Trophy, and Joe Thornton's just really cool, right? Like there's nothing uncool about Joe Thornton. He's just a cool guy. So that connection to remembering back when I was 16, and a lot of Sharks fans, because the fan base skews younger, right? Mm-hmm. Because of the age of the franchise, is that that's our last connection to being a kid and watching hockey. Patrick Marleau came back, but Patrick Marleau's already come and gone two or three times. Mm-hmm. And Patrick Marleau, for as good as he was, and as much as he's Mr. Shark, he's literally voted Mr. Shark. He was never like the icon outside of San Jose that Joe Thornton was. Like if I said I went to a bar or whatever, I'm talking to somebody and they said, oh, what team do you cheer for? I said San Jose, Joe Thornton would immediately come up. So I think that's the biggest thing, is that we all knew the day was coming that he was going to go, but to see him actually leave and stay in the NHL is just so jarring, because it's this long 15-year history of us a lot of fans as kids and teenagers, and now we're adults. Like, I'm 31. I have my own problems. But that was such a cool thing that Joe Thornton was there. So it's just really, it's really weird. And it's weird, too, because you don't, like, to say active Hall of Famer, there's not many of them. And many of them that stay with one team for a long time. It would be like if the Kings lost Andre Kopitar.
Yeah,
I don't think he's all time as good as Joe Thornton, but he's such an icon in that area that it would be similar to that. So that was my long-winded intro.
So, you know, I feel like every year whenever the playoffs happen, especially for those of us whose teams are garbage and are looking for someone else to, like, not even like root for or follow along or whatever, there's always the, like, old guy without a cup. And so there's always, you know, someone you want to root for because your team's out of contention. So it might as well be some guy who has played a million years and never lifted the cup. But now I feel like most fans don't necessarily want to be rooting for Toronto. So everyone's in this sort of weird spot now where people want Joe Thornton to win a cup, even if they're people who, you know, didn't like the Sharks or didn't like him. He's just had such a long, iconic career. I mean, one of the only guys left in the league who's older than I am. So, you know, I want him to, like, have nice things, but it's on Toronto, a team that just, I feel like you either love the Leafs or you just want them to sort of evaporate.
Yeah, I've openly said that, like, if they got contracted, I wouldn't lose any sleep. That's the tough thing, is that he could have went to a lot of other teams, and I don't think there would have been as visceral reaction. Like, even if he went to Vegas, whatever, at the end of the day, he went to Vegas. But there's just something about Toronto, and already here, there's been the hometown boy is coming home, and I'm just like, oh, he's 41. First of all, he's not a kid.
Right.
I literally today in his interview he did on NHL.com, the second guy from the Canadian Press, or one of the guys, said that you're a hometown kid coming home. He's 41. Like, what? It was just funny because in classic Thornton fashion, they were all harping on this coming home to Southern Ontario. They all said it, like, you're coming home, and he asked how much family. He's like, well, a little bit, but ultimately it was about the team because, duh, the Leafs are really good. Like, I think that's the thing, is that as much as you want to bash them, the Leafs are really, really good. To have them put together. But yeah, it's I don't know. He is the oldest man without a cup because he's the second oldest player in the league behind Chara, but Chara's already won. So I don't know what people are going
to
do.
It's rough. I feel like I'm going to be in the uncomfortable position of having to want nice things for Toronto, and that feels weird.
I live here. I'm from here. It is like soul wrenching that I have to actively participate in watching Joe Thornton play for the Leafs. It's really weird. And also, I don't know. He could have went to anywhere. That's the thing. He could have went to anywhere, and he ended up going to the Leafs. And it's so weird. Today, I was texting with some Sharks friends, and they were like, I was going to be okay with, like, him leaving, but seeing him in, like, blue, photoshopped and stuff like that, very odd. Very, very, very strange.
Yeah, especially because it clearly wasn't about money, signing for basically league minimum. So he could have gone to Colorado. He could have gone to the Lightning or something, and instead, hometown boy who's 41 years old goes home.
And his parents are like an hour and a half away from here, so it like there is that connection. But like, it was just funny that he shut it all down, and he said that he talked to Joe Montana before making his decision. Joe Montana, if anybody doesn't know, played for the San Francisco 49ers. He's considered arguably the greatest QB of all time, and he at the end of his career famously left to go play for the Kansas City Chiefs. So he said he called him and asked, which is kind of interesting, but it's just sad. I would just rather him retire, you know what I mean? Then he's gone, then it's like sad, but also at the same time, Joe Thornton winning a cup would be really, really cool.
Right. More with Cal coming up next, but first let's talk about Built Bar, because you need a great tasting snack to get you through your day, to give you the energy to do the work that you need to do to, you know, sign with the Toronto Maple Leafs or whatever it is that you're up to. Built Bar can be just that for you. They are back. They're better than ever. They're more delicious than before. Built Bar is a protein bar that is good for you. It's full of protein, low in calories, low in sugar, and yet tastes like a candy bar. They are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft, they're fluffy, they're easy to chew, easy to eat, and they come in amazing flavors like peanut butter brownie, German chocolate, carrot cake, caramel brownie, and more. So why snack on something that is bad for you and is going to leave you feeling kind of gross when you're done, when you could have a Built Bar and still be health conscious while eating a delicious tasting treat? Go to BuiltBar.com right now. Use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. Again, use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Now, he obviously has a very long career. Like you said, he's kind of the last connection to kind of the fandom of childhood for a lot of people. And I know this is sort of an impossible question, but if you had to pick, I'll give you like top three Joe Thornton moments, things that are always going to stick with you as we eulogize his Sharks career, what would they be?
Okay, number one will be number one, but the next two, I don't know which order they'll go in. There's the famous jumbo slide when he eliminated the Kings in 2011 round one, and he skates back away from the net and just slides on his ass like a turtle, like upside down. The jumbo slide will be there. The second moment, that's tough because like is winning the heart, is racking up 96 assists and 92 assists like a moment? I don't really know if that's like a moment. So the jumbo slide, and then I'll say, actually, you know what it might be? It might be the gif of when they lose in the black sweaters and Joe Thornton is like looking and then he looks down and he's really sad, just like a broken
sad
man.
Joe Thornton. Yeah.
Sad Joe Thornton. That might be too, but ultimately at the end of the day, his defining legacy in San Jose is when Thomas Hertl scored 4 goals and Joe Thornton came to his defense. I don't know if we can, if you want to bleep it out, but he said he would stroke certain things about him and that he'd whip it out right on the ice. And then it became a rooster trick. And then 2019-18, he had a hat trick against Boston. And I believe everyone was watching that game at that point. And he was asked afterwards, how disappointed are you to not get the fourth? And he laughed and said, kinda. He's like, I know everybody was rooting for me to get it. And they all laughed. And he goes, I was trying. So it's some combination of the jumbo slide, probably that sad Thornton gif, and then the I'd have my something out stroking it. So I'm trying to really dance around that one, but it's tough in a 15-year legacy to pick out just certain moments, especially because San Jose never did win the cup. Ultimately, which kind of puts him into a weird category, because like for Sharks fans, there's moments like in the summer of 2000 and I believe it's 14 when he got stripped of the captaincy. And he told the GM to shut his mouth and stop talking.
Yeah.
So like that's a moment too. And he makes a pass in, I believe it's 2011, against Detroit to Marlowe, where they win in overtime, and he makes the pass, the outstanding pass. So there's all these little Thornton moments. There's the lifestyle beard. The man literally grew a gigantic beard, and it's called a lifestyle beard, and it was the body issue. So there's all of these moments that are kind of like little things, but it's hard to, in a 15-year career, there's a lot of different things, but we'll go with those three.
And the fact that so many of the things that stick out are, you know, obviously he's a tremendous hockey player. Even now, like obviously he's slowed down. He isn't, you know, he's not particularly fast, but it's still such a intelligent player. But the things that endure are the things that are, you know, the funny things or the things that kind of like personalize him. And he definitely had no shortage of personality. I've talked to reporters who basically were like, if you walked into that room, he wasn't wearing pants, just no pants. and like those are the stories that people tell about Joe Thornton, you know, because his body of work as a hockey player speaks for itself, but also he as a person has created a lot of memories that are going to always kind of stick with people, you know, regardless of the fact that he hasn't lifted a cup.
Yeah, there's just this like almost like a mythos around Joe Thornton. He famously signed his contract sitting on top of his tractor on his lawn. He goes back to Switzerland every summer because his wife is Swiss. Right now he's playing for HC Davos and he got a Swiss passport so that he didn't count as an import player. Like there's this like this whole mythos about Thornton. There was an article 2 years ago, or maybe when they went to Western Conference Finals in 2018, of him where he plays mobile Risk like on his iPad. And it's like 10-minute Risk where crush his wrist. And then you can jump back to the Vegas series where Vegas blew a three goal lead. And they let in 4 goals on a power play, which was not a bad penalty. That's just shitty defense. But there's that where Joe Thornton's sitting on the bench and they call timeout and the penalty happens and they're looking around and they say, what should we do? And Joe Thornton says, go out there and score 3 effing goals. Mm-hmm. They went out and scored 4 goals. Like there's just little stuff like that where it doesn't sound like much, but him just telling the power play to go out and score three mm-hmm. goals on a 5-minute power play. That never happens. And yeah. there's just all these little tiny things. And Doug Wilson came out today and said, like, he'll be at a time in the future, he'll be remembered as like a Shark forever. So he's definitely going to be the first Shark with his number retired, yeah. Which is kind of cool. But there's just so much Thornton lore. Mm-hmm. When they won the President's Trophy in 2009 or 2008, they came up against the Ducks in round one, and it was game six, and they were on the ropes, and the puck drops, and he throws down the mitts and fights Ryan Getzlaff off the opening faceoff. Like, there's just, like, there's so much shit like that where it's just, like, all this Thornton stuff. It's just tough to separate this one yeah. cool thing, and there's this whole myth and legend about Joe Thornton that's really neat that you don't often get anymore because hockey players are boring.
Yeah, you just get, oh, Connor McDavid scored a really cool goal. I couldn't tell you a single thing about him off the ice other than that he scored cool goals.
He's from Newmarket. but yeah, that's exactly right. Thornton's almost like a throwback mm-hmm. player, like a classic mm-hmm. NHL player, which makes sense. He was drafted in 1997, which is crazy to say. What were you doing in 1997? I was eight.
I was in high school, or maybe middle school, something like that.
So I was in grade three, because this was going around Twitter. Where were you when Joe yeah. Thornton got drafted? I was in grade yeah. three, and I remember I was scared of my teacher or something like that. So I stopped. We had to use pencils, and when my pencil got down to the nub, there's no lead left. I switched to a gray pencil crayon and used that instead. And then when that got down to a nub, I found the darker gray pencil crayon, because there was always two, and used that. And then finally, my parents had to come in for a meeting and ask, like, why I didn't go sharpen my pencil. And that's where I was when yeah. Joe Thornton got drafted.
Yeah. Yeah. I did math. I was 14. So, like, starting high school, or ending middle school or whatever. So I was just like a nerd learning about the internet and stuff, and Joe Thornton was playing hockey.
Were you a Kings fan back then?
No, I grew up in Pittsburgh, so I was a Penguins fan. Ew. I wrote Mario Lemieux Pittsburgh? A letter in third grade.
What, really?
Yeah, whenever he
Super Mario.
Yeah, whenever they announced he had cancer, our third grade class all wrote him letters to just be like, get well soon. He never wrote us back.
Oh, classic Mario. Oh, that's crazy. Yeah, so in 1997, what were the Penguins doing? Nothing?
Probably nothing.
Jágr was on the team. No, that might be the year that Jágr won the Hart. I don't know. Either way. Yeah. Thornton's been in the league literally forever.
Yeah.
Is the moral of the story. And it's tough to see the franchise icon. It's mm-hmm. I think it's kind of weird too, because if your team's too old, like Montreal or Toronto or yeah. Chicago, Rangers, all of the iconic, like the single best player in the franchise, like the Rocket retired in the 60s.
So yeah.
I don't even know who Toronto's best player is. Doug Armstrong?
Yeah.
George Armstrong? So they're all old. Like Stan Mikita from Chicago retired mm-hmm. in the 70s, maybe. Yeah. So it's tough. You don't often see the franchise's best player ever yeah. leave. So like Edmonton would, similar to when Wayne Gretzky was traded, that's mm-hmm. similar to how we're going. And it's always weird to see that. And it's tough because San Jose isn't necessarily the biggest market or the coolest market. They just had Joe Thornton.
Yeah.
Which was dope as hell.
I went to find it on Twitter. There was a tweet that went around that says, Joe Thornton is 1 year older than his new coach and 7 years older than his new GM.
Damn. Right? Holy. Wait, Kyle yeah. Dubas is 34?
I mean, he looks like
Kyle Dubas is only 3 years older than I am. Oh, man. What have I done with my life? Jeez.
Yeah.
That's tough. Yeah. You know what the crazy thing is too, is that there's a world where they don't win the cup, obviously, and Joe Thornton comes back for another spin in the league next year. There is that world.
Oh, yeah.
Like he talked about when he at the end of last season, when they got bowed out in the Western Conference final, he talked openly about how he's got a couple more years left. Mm-hmm. Like he's had some devastating knee injuries, but like he's in still really, really good shape.
Yeah.
He never, ever wears a shirt when he does interviews. So you can see the guy is jacked
yeah.
at 41. So he's also like back in the day, he also talked about finishing his career in Davos in Switzerland. Mm-hmm. I think there's a world where maybe he plays one or two more seasons in the NHL and then plays one full season in Switzerland. Yeah. So Joe Thornton's a big candidate for retires from the NHL and we never, ever see him again.
Yeah.
And he lives in the hills of Switzerland yeah. with like Shania Twain and that's what he's doing. So
yeah.
there's that. It's, I don't know. I don't like it. I hate all of this already.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very weird.
It was like 4 seconds after he signed and Steve Simmons wrote a dumb article about leadership. And I was just like, I can't do this already. I hate this timeline. I want to get off this. I want to move out of Toronto. I don't want to be here. The crazy thing is like Toronto, we all know it. Toronto's apt to scratch him at some point, mm-hmm. just randomly, because the scenario I laid out to all my Leaf friends is they're behind Tampa and Boston to start the season. The media gets mad and then half the fan base gets mad. And so they scratch Spezza and then they scratch Simmons. Mm-hmm. Then they're kind of back on track, but not really. So they scratch Thornton for a game to give everybody a wake up call. When was the last time Joe Thornton was ever scratched?
Like when he was like 19, probably.
Right. So like, that's a crazy thought to think that Joe Thornton might be scratched at some point. It's just everything about this is strange. And the first time he like actually is wearing a Leafs jersey is going to be like so alien to everybody.
Yeah.
It's sad. I'm just going to delete Twitter. Like, nope. I'm out of here.
Phone like somewhere else.
I didn't answer my town Friday. People started to, like, my phone just started exploding and I just didn't answer people for hours. I had somebody text me and then literally text me back like 3 hours later, like, hey, this is a serious text, are you okay? I'm like, I'm not that bad, I just really don't want to talk to anybody right now, especially because half of them, like, making fun of me.
Two more things before we wrap up. One serious, one not serious.
Let's go serious first.
Serious first. All right. What does this mean for the Sharks? What direction are they going in? What does next season look like for them? Do they finish ahead or behind the Kings next year?
They finished third worst in the NHL this year. So the old adage would be the only way to go is up. But haha, joke's on you. There's two more spots to go down. Their solution to the goaltending was to sign trade for Devan Dubnyk, who is as equally as bad as Martin Jones. Then... yeah, it's not good. They're gonna finish behind the Kings.
And Patrick Marleau, did they do anything?
Yeah, okay. So they traded for Devan Dubnyk and Ryan Donato. The Ryan Donato trading was actually really good. Then they re-signed Stefan Nason. They signed Kevin LeBanc to a fat contract. They signed Patrick Marleau. They signed Matt Nieto, Long Beach native. They got him back. And right now we're suspecting that they're gonna sign they don't have a sixth D-man other than Brinson Pasichnuk and Ryan Merkley battling it out.
Those aren't real people.
Ryan Merkley's the defenseman they drafted like 2 years ago.
Those aren't real people.
Yeah, Brinson Pasichnuk's probably not. His brother's name is Steen Pasichnuk. So there's kind of a hole on the sixth spot of the D on the right side. So we're assuming they're going to sign some absolute immobile D-man like Corbinian Holzer to come play for them. So I'm guessing that they're going to tank it this year. And they've talked about, and we kind of talked about too, how there's a way where the Stars rebound from being absolutely dreadful and the Kids kind of take a little step forward and they kind of battle for a bottom tier playoff spot. But really, I think that if it kind of bottoms out and it's not so great, I think that's okay too.
Yeah.
Because they do have their first round pick this year and they can use another high draft pick and then retool. So it can go a couple different ways, but I wouldn't be expecting, don't put any futures bets on the Sharks. That's my suggestion.
And then the not so serious question. You talked about this on Twitter. The Locked On Sharks talked about this on Twitter. We've talked about it. Joe Thornton, Taylor Swift, Folklore. What's your feelings song?
Oh, okay. So there's a lot of songs on this album. Some of them don't apply. Like Betty doesn't apply and August kind of does, but Last Great American Dynasty obviously doesn't apply. He's not even American. So I think if you kind of like look at like Illicit Affairs, the passage at the end of Illicit Affairs where she's like, look at this godforsaken mess you made. You showed me colors, you know, I can't see with anyone else. Don't call me kid. Don't call me baby. Look at this idiotic fool that you made me. You taught me secret language. I can't speak with anyone else. Great, because that's Joe Thornton, right? He's arguably the greatest passer of all time, other than Wayne Gretzky. So you could do that. My Tears Ricochet is kind of like a red herring because the title makes you think that it's going to be something sad, but it's not quite there. As basic as this is going to be, it's got to be Exile. If you go through Exile and you're looking at the lyrics and the songs, and it's very like moody, obviously it's written by Justin Vernon of Bon Iver, but it's talking about how their former lover is gone and they see them and they're out and they're around and they've seen this film before. It doesn't end the way they want it. And when you get to the end, they're both kind of singing, you didn't even hear me out. You didn't even hear me out. You never gave me a warning sign. I gave you so many signs. Joe Thornton for the past like 4 years was like, I'm signing 1 year contracts. Let's try to win this cup. But there were so many signs and every Sharks fan was like, la 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 la, we're pretending this is never gonna happen. He's never gonna leave. And then the whole song closes with, I've seen this film before and I didn't like the ending. We watched Marleau go away. We watched Owen Nolan go away. Both of the Leafs both ended horribly. We're not my homeland anymore because he's not ours anymore. He's playing with the Leafs. So like, there's nothing. So what am I defending now? Every single Sharks fan will defend Joe Thornton to the day they die, even though he's playing for the Leafs this year. It says, you were my town. Now I'm in exile, seeing you out. I think I've seen this film before. So I'm leaving out the side door. it's just too perfect to describe Joe Thornton leaving San Jose for a new lover that nobody wants to see. So that was my deep dive. If anybody really, really wants to talk to me about this, I have more thoughts on like how Mirror Ball and Cardigan could work in here, but I'm going with Exile. It's a little basic, a little on the nose, but it works. If you think about it, listen to the song, turn it up, put it in your like Google Home or put it in your car, turn it up and like be in a weepy mode. And then just really listen to the lyrics and think about your favorite player who's also a franchise icon leaving. So your Kopitars, your McDavids, your whomevers, your Huberdos, your Austin Matthews in 3 years to Arizona. We're all in the same. We're all in the same here.
My challenge to everyone listening to this show is one of you has to be really good at like video editing and stuff. So I want the Joe Thornton supercut video to Exile. I want the like fan cam or whatever the kids are calling it now. Like I want the music video for it. That's my challenge. Locked on NHL Nation. Someone please do this for me. I need it.
I also need that for research.
For reasons.
I'm just going to sit in my dark wallowing pity house. Just watching it on repeat. The only thing, it's like those scenes where it's like a dark scene and the glow of the phone is hitting my face. And yes. It's just like a tear streaming down my eye.
Yeah, exactly.
That's gonna be me.
Yeah, like scattered beer cans around the floor. And
yes, exactly. It's not a good spot. I just like haven't shaved. Calling into work sick. Like, I don't feel well. Gotta go. Bye. So yeah. So somebody hit us up, please. I really want that.
Yeah. That's a lot. It's a tough world for Sharks fans who now have to go watch Joe Thornton. For people out there who want to experience more sadness or want to talk about Taylor Swift or want to commiserate about the lack of Joe Thornton on the Sharks, where can they find you? Where can they find Locked on Sharks? And anything else that you want to direct people at?
I can direct them straight to the aisle with the cookies and the chips and the Kleenex. You can find me at Kyle Demetrius. That's where I spend most of my time because I'm in sales in real life. And so I look at my phone under the guise of working. So Kyle Demetrius is where I'm at. You can find us at Locked on Sharks. I think our screen name is Locked on Count Sharkula because we have absolutely no regard for other people's feelings about how things should look. So come over to Locked on Count Sharkula where we're just going to be sad. We have a Joe Thornton tribute Monday, Tuesday. In the past couple of weeks, we've interviewed beat writer for the Sharks, Shang Pang. Chris Peters from ESPN did a draft interview. We got the voice of the Prince Albert Raiders, Trevor Redden, on to talk about San Jose's first round pick, Ozzie Wiesblatt. So we have some good stuff. And as we head into the offseason, we're going to be looking at what Joe Thornton's doing and then also remembering that we have to watch this crappy team play.
That's a tough life. It's a tough life.
San Jose's never really been bad. It's a brave new world for us.
Yeah.
It's a whole new frontier.
Welcome. It's...
Yeah.
It's good. An adventure. It sucks.
I'll put on my brave face.
Yeah. Work on that. Well, thanks for joining the show. Thanks for sharing your feelings. I think everyone is united in really hating Joe Thornton on the Leafs, except for Leafs fans.
There is more hockey talk coming up. Don't forget to tune into this show all week long as we've got great guests, great news, and lots of awesome conversation all about the NHL and the big stories that are going on across the league. If you haven't already, make sure you're subscribing to this show in your favorite podcast app of choice and give us a follow on Twitter where we are sharing a lot of the work that is being done across the network to keep everyone up to date on their hockey teams as we go through the offseason. So we're on Twitter at LockedOnNHLPods. Give us a follow, say hello, and hope you join us the rest of the week for more great content on Locked On NHL. Well, it's never too early to start talking about the Stanley Cup, and it seems like as soon as the Lightning lifted the cup and the celebrations were done, or maybe even before the celebrations were done, talk already started turning towards next season. Even though we don't know really when next season is going to be or what it's going to look like or anything like that, we're already getting odds from, you know, all the sports betting places and everything all about who is the favorite for the Stanley Cup in the 2020-2021 season. And right now, the one that keeps popping up to the top of everyone's lists is the Colorado Avalanche. So I've got Chris Maselli from Locked On Avalanche. You can also hear him on Thursdays here on Locked On NHL to tell us about the outlook for his team. So the NHL Network posted some rankings. They had the Avalanche at the top. Mike Johnson on the NHL Network also agreed with that, kind of saying the Avalanche were his clear number one for a potential Stanley Cup winner next season. How do you feel about that? How does that make you feel about your team?
That's a lot of pressure, man. Like, you know, they're starting early with, I think it was like the next day after Tampa Bay won, was when I saw odds come out. And yeah, the Avs were at the top of that list. And this was before, obviously, like, you know, the draft, before free agency. It was the earliest you can get to have odds come out. And that's a lot of pressure. Now, like, you have that target on your back the entire season and the entire offseason, however long that may be. So people are going to be gunning for you now. People, you know, teams are going to be gunning for you, which they should anyway. And, you know, the general public is going to be like, you know, oh, that Avalanche team, which they don't get a ton of press. They are. And a lot of people are going to be looking at them saying, show me what you got. So this is, and they're still a young team, but they're pretty seasoned. So it will be interesting to see how they handle it for sure. I think they'll be okay. But if they get off to a slow start, people are going to be jumping all over them to saying like, maybe they aren't who we thought they were, but anything can happen. But I think they'll handle it pretty well. And I think part of the reason why they handle it well is because of the guys they have on their team and one of the moves that they made for bringing, you know, Brandon Saad, another veteran guy who's been there and knows how to handle stuff like that.
Yeah, that deal was whenever we talked about that on the national show right after it happened, my kind of take on that was, A, I don't know what Chicago's doing. B, I don't know why people keep picking up the phone whenever Joe Sakic calls them, because he just keeps getting all of these great deals. He got Brandon Saad. He also got Devin Taves from the Islanders because they're in kind of a cap crunch of their own. And otherwise, the Avs are mostly kind of bringing back a pretty solid amount of the guys that they had next season and while still adding these players, Taves and Brandon Saad. They also got Dennis Gilbert, who's kind of going to be a depth guy, I'm assuming. How does the Avalanche keep? I feel like the Avalanche are one of those teams who are in talks for every big free agent. They're in talks for every big move. How do they do it? How do they keep finding the money to do this? I'm amazed.
Yeah, and it's impressive. Like Joe Sakic, I mean, if you've ever seen the movie Tommy Boy, they say he could, you know, Tommy's father could sell a ketchup popsicle to a woman in white gloves. And that's pretty much Joe Sakic. Like he works his magic, and he knows the numbers, he knows what he can afford, what he can't afford, and he doesn't go over that. He has a strategy, they have a strategy, and they stick to it. I know he wanted Taylor Hall. He wanted him at the trade deadline, couldn't get him. He was not going to give up, you know, certain players that I'm sure the Devils wanted at the time. He was not going to reach for that. Free agency came up and he had a number. He had a number that he was going to offer him that he was comfortable with. And Taylor Hall obviously didn't bite on him. It's like, okay, fine. We're not going to go over that. So he goes elsewhere and he comes up with moves like what he did with the Chicago deal, which is a really good deal. They, you know, Zadorov just didn't fit with them, and we kind of knew the writing was on the wall for him. But to get Brandon Saad and even have the Chicago retain $1 million, like everybody's in a cap crunch this offseason. So any money you can save anywhere is huge. So even $1 million that you know the Blackhawks are soaking up helps them. And the trade that I think was just a miracle work was the one with the Islanders. Like he knew they were struggling and under the gun, and to go get Devin Taves for 2 second rounders, which the Avalanche have done their damage in the past 3-4 years in the draft, and they have built up a lot of prospects. So now they are on the downside of that and are kind of like reaping the rewards. And those guys haven't even really come up yet. They're still in college and other leagues and Canadian leagues, wherever they're playing, and they're still like honing their game. So they haven't even had to dip into that pool yet. So they have been awarded that benefit of being able to part with second round draft picks, which are going to be late round draft picks, hopefully. So it really doesn't hurt them that much. And every move that he's made in the past 4 or 5 years is all leading up to today when they are a favorite to win it. It's just been, it's been a turnaround, and the turnaround was quick because they had that awful season. The very next year they made the playoffs, which nobody expected them to do. And from there, that point on, the moves he's been making, he's just struck gold with every move he's made, including, you know, like the Val Nichushkin signing, which nobody thought that would pan out. And look what he's done. So he just has the golden touch right now. So I'm just sitting back and you, as a fan, you just kind of trust what he's going to do is going to be the right move.
It's been pretty remarkable too, the patience that he and the, you know, the ownership of the Avalanche have had from that one terrible season where I feel like everyone was just like blow everything up. Mm-hmm. And they just stayed the course and have become kind of A, the team to beat, and B, the team to emulate for a lot of people of looking at how do you build a team, especially if you have a young superstar like Nate MacKinnon, how do you build around him to be able to take best advantage of his peak years? And the Avalanche are really, you know, even though they haven't quite gotten right to the goal yet of the Stanley Cup final, they are making their progress there. And every year they look better and better and more dangerous. And all the odds makers are saying, maybe it's next year.
Yeah, it could be. And you know, that awful season that they had, that wasn't that long ago, he even came out and said, all right, you know, we're open for business. If people want to make deals, the only one I am not trading is Nathan MacKinnon. Everybody else is on the table. And that included Captain Gabe Landeskog, you know, Rantanen, and everybody was on the table. And he didn't make a move. He wasn't happy with any, because I think people were probably trying to lowball him and get their better players for next to nothing. And he's like, no, I'm, and he pretty much kept the team intact and then did some damage, you know, in the off season, in the draft. And it's been fun to watch, really. And now, yeah, like you are given the honor of being the favorite to win next year, the day after Tampa Bay wins it, like I said, before any draft, before any free agents. And that's a fluid thing. You know, that changes, you know, a lot between then and when the next season starts. And even through it, even through the draft and the free agency market, they're still up there. You know, nobody really, I mean, people made some moves, obviously, but like, you know, Vegas signing Pietrangelo and the Blues getting Krug, and I don't think Buffalo is going to shoot to the top of the standings with, you know, Hall. But like the where the big guys went still didn't overtake the Avalanche in what the odds makers thinks that they are. So it's going to be an exciting season.
And then one last bit of news that actually came up right before we started recording was that the Avalanche re-signed Tyson Jost to a 1-year deal. He signed his qualifying offer and they're set with him. Do you think next year's going to be him taking on a bigger role on the team? Is he kind of settled into where he's at, or is this going to be a kind of a show me deal for him?
Oh, it's a show me deal. Yeah, this is a 1-year deal for him. He needs to really, really step up and be more consistent. He's not. He's probably starting on the fourth line, and because of the moves the Avs made, other guys that have just kind of bypassed him. And some people are even thinking like he might not even be on that fourth line. So he really needs to step up, or this is going to be it for him. He's kind of like polarizing in the fan base. More fans are just saying we need to move on. And Joe Sakic really doesn't work that way. He gives guys multiple opportunities. And I think for Jost, I think he knows it, this could be it for him. You know, he got a 1-year deal. There were rumors that they tried to trade him to Florida, and then the Islanders deal came across, so they retained him. And you know, it took him a while to sign. He was the very last one. He's now they're done. Like they have their team. He was the last piece that they. Well, the Taves arbitration is coming up, so they have to get him signed. Mm-hmm. But and it was just, why did it take so long? Because I think they really did try to move him. And when they couldn't, basically is playing on the same contract he did last year. So this is a do or die for him. And if he repeats what he did last year, you might be seeing him in a Seattle Kraken uniform, if you ask me.
There's a lot to keep an eye on with the Avalanche, who, like we said, have become kind of the model of how you build a team and how you work through whatever changes you need to work through. And Joe Sakic has a plan, and we're going to see exactly where that plan ends up whenever hockey comes back, which we don't really 100% know when that's going to be. But will be there to tell everyone all about what's next for the Avalanche. So for people who want to learn more, who want to maybe get on the bandwagon early, given that they are Stanley Cup favorites, where can they find you and your show out there on the internet?
Twitter is where I do most of my damage. So LOPN_Avalanche is the Twitter page. And then if you want to follow me personally, my Twitter handle is within my profile of the Locked On Avalanche Twitter page. So, but most of my stuff's done on the LOPN_Avalanche or Instagram, just search for Locked On Avalanche.
Sounds great. Lots of great things to keep up with coming up in the future for the Avalanche. So thanks for jumping on the show, and we'll see what happens next for your team.
Absolutely. Love it. Thank you.
That is it for today's show. Thank you so much to Kyle and to Chris for coming on and talking about their teams and sharing their feelings. And seriously, if you're out there, if you can make a music video, let's talk. Get at me on Twitter. You can find me there at Right Said Sarah. You can find the show there at Locked On NHL Pods. This show is available wherever you get your podcasts from. So make sure you're subscribed. Tell a friend all about it. Get them to subscribe if they aren't already. Leave a rating or a review if you're enjoying what you're hearing. And make sure you come back tomorrow and every day after that for more great content here on this very show. Until next time, this has been Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.